overnight low right around the freezing mark. Tomorrow's high a little warmer at 38. Then for Wednesday, partly sunny and colder, a high of 28. Markedly colder for Thursday under cloudy skies, with Thursday's high just 23. No change in temperature for Friday, despite the fact that we should see some sunshine finally. Southwest winds today at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Right now, cloudy skies, 33 in both Racine and Kenosha. Winds out of the southwest at 9 miles an hour. I'm David Cole, WGTD News. The morning show with Greg Berg is coming up.
Support for WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show co-host. And we welcome you to the Monday morning show. I'm Gregory Berg. And we are beginning this week of morning shows with a very important topic. It's hard to think of a topic that is more important than education. And we're going to be focusing today in particular on an organization that's been around for several years now called Higher Expectations for Racine County Youth. Higher Expectations represents a really exciting array of partnerships between public, non-public, nonprofit, private, faith-based organizations, all committed in various respects to bettering the lives of young people in Racine County, and in particular, improving their success rate in terms of education, seeing to it that that many more Racine County youth are able to graduate successfully, move on to further education, and ultimately move into very, very successful careers and whatever those careers might be. And here to talk about Higher Expectations is Jeff Neubauer, who is the executive director of the organization. Jeff Neubauer has joined us before on the morning show to talk about all kinds of different things with which he has been active in the community over the years. But today, he wears his hat as, again, executive director of Higher Expectations to give us a little history of this organization and the studies that it has undertaken and the initiatives that are already underway in terms of trying to move these numbers into positive direction. Jeff Neubauer, we welcome you to the morning show.
Thank you very much. It is always a pleasure to be with you, Greg, and I really look forward to this conversation today.
Glad we can do this. First of all, take us back to the year 2008, which I think is actually before there was anything called Higher Expectations for Racine County Youth. Tell us sort of what was being talked about with the Racine County Workforce Development Board, which sort of set much of this in motion.
Thank you very much. That will provide a useful context, I think, for your listeners. Back in 2008, the Racine County Workforce Development Board, as you mentioned, was chaired by Mike Batten, the late Mike Batten, former CEO of Twin Disc in Racine. And he felt that as the Workforce Development Board looked forward for the Workforce Development Center in Racine County, which is at 1717 Taylor Avenue, now known as the Cornwolf Building. There was a flurry of activity in that Workforce Development Center whenever there was a major layoff. There was a flurry of in the community, a flurry of activity when there would be a major hiring at one of the local employers. But in between, he asked the question, what are we doing? What is the objective? Where are we trying to get to by, let's say, the year 2020? And so people thought, gee, that's a really good question. We brought in a national consulting firm. We did a year's worth of study. We talked to employers. We talked to employees. We talked to nonprofits. We did data analysis. We held focus groups. And in May of 2008, a report called Higher Expectations, which is where the name originated from around here, a workforce development plan for the year 2020 was issued. And it focused principally on two things. One is that Racine at that time, the city of Racine, had the highest unemployment rate in the state and regrettably still does to this day. And two, we had many employers back in 2008, and we have many of them yet today who are having a hard time filling positions in their respective organizations, some of those private sector, some public sector, some nonprofits, but many employers having a hard time filling positions. So we had this sort of crazy situation where the local labor market wasn't working properly. We had many people looking for work and many people looking for workers, but they weren't getting matched up. And so Mike Batten set us on this course of trying to resolve that situation. And we did that for 5 years, largely a volunteer-driven effort, embarked upon a number of things that were good activities and good things came out of that. But we sat down in 2013 in May and said, gee, how are we doing 5 years into this effort? Has Racine's unemployment rate been reduced compared to the rest of the state and the rest of the county? And we found out it had not been, so we'd not made any progress on that front. And we asked our employers, still having a hard time filling positions, and when we asked employers, and I'm one of them, we said, gee, we're having a harder time filling positions now in 2013 than we did in 2008. So we realized what we were doing was not achieving the desired result.
I'm just curious, as you began talking about this five-year period, I kind of jumped to the rosy assumption that this was mostly a five-year period of exploration and study and discussion. But it sounds like it was more than that, that there were also some concrete efforts made to change the situations and efforts which, for whatever reason, just didn't achieve any, at least measurable, results.
That is exactly right. We had six challenges that we articulated, and I won't go into all of that, but and we had task forces working on them, and some good things resulted from that. Advancing family assets at the United Way was one of the initiatives that came out of that work, which I was involved in, and there were others, many other good ones as well. But we weren't really, if I can borrow the phrase, moving the needle on the two big issues, which were to try and bring the city's unemployment rate down to the rest of the county and the state, and then secondly, to make sure that employers had capable people to fill the positions they needed to fill in their respective organizations.
So when you realize we have made no progress whatsoever, then what was the next step in terms of trying to find a next step or a new direction to go?
Well, we asked ourselves, gee, should we quit or should we keep doing the same thing and expect a different result? And we didn't like either one of those options, so we decided we wanted to try something new. And then, of course, the next question was, well, what's that going to be? So in June of that year of 2013, we invited a gentleman named Jeff Edmondson to Racine, and he leads a national organization which has come to be known as Strive Together. They're based in Cincinnati, and they have a very robust website for anyone who wishes to look up Strive Together. And they do this thing called collective impact, where they try and work on what they refer to as a cradle-to-career continuum and align resources across communities. In many communities, including Racine County, we have many, many good efforts going on, but they tend to be siloed. They tend to be operating in their own universe. And if you were to draw a picture of how that works up on a sheet of paper, you'd see a bunch of arrows, good arrows, people doing good things, but all pointing in different directions and going off in their own respective ways. And often also we don't really know how effective those efforts are because we don't have the capacity to measure their impact and to scale up the ones that are working better than others. So he came to town, Jeff Edmondson did, and met with a group of community leaders out at the Johnson Foundation at Wingspread, which very graciously hosted the meeting and included heads of businesses, CEOs, the head of the United Way, the new school superintendent who was about to start her work, Dr. Lally Hawes, Dr. Debbie Ford from Parkside, and Dr. Brian Albrecht from Gateway, and so on. And the mayor, the county executive, the police chief in Racine had a great group of people. And at the end of the day, the folks around that table decided that they liked this approach and that they wanted to try and pursue this different collective impact initiative to see if we couldn't make some progress on those two original objectives. And ultimately, we sometimes refer to it euphemistically as Higher Expectations 2.0, now officially known as Higher Expectations for Racine County Youth, was launched to the community after a great deal of preparatory work in April of 2014.
Hmm. Let's talk for a moment about this national group that now Higher Expectations is part of, this Strive Together Cradle to Career Network that you've already mentioned. I suspect that all of you would not be as excited about this model as you are if there weren't very specific and persuasive success stories to which this group can point. I mean, have they made some exciting things happen in some other places? And if so, can you give us a couple examples?
Absolutely. So Strive Together, as I mentioned, is headquartered in Cincinnati. And folks in Cincinnati were confronting many of the same issues that we confront here and many places confront across the country, urban and rural, north, south, east, and west. And they looked at research that had been done in New York at the Harlem Children's Zone, at the University of Chicago by a Nobel Prize-winning economist, James Heckman, and many others. And they concluded that one of the big challenges was that in most places, as I've already referenced, there are a lot of good things going on, but they're not really aligned, and we're not measuring the results. We don't have a common definition of what we're working on as a community, and we don't have everyone sort of pulling in the same direction. So if you think of those arrows that I mentioned before where they go in multiple different directions, the idea is to align those arrows and have one feed into the other so that you have synergy, so that you have people working together toward a common goal with common objectives and doing it in a very coherent way. So in Cincinnati, when they looked at all that research, they said there are six key milestones to focus on in the development of a child: getting that child ready for kindergarten, third grade reading, eighth grade math, high school graduation, post-secondary, meaning something after high school enrollment, so enrolling in something. It might be truck driver training school. It might be a technical or community college like Gateway. It might be a four-year university like Parkside or some other college or university like Carthage. And then graduating, completing that program, and then moving on to the workforce. In Racine County, we particularly focus on the work moving into the workforce, and we've in fact changed that cradle to career approach, and we call it career to cradle because we start with the careers, mm-hmm. and then we work our way backwards. And if you look at our emails, it's career2cradle.org. Because we, to borrow Stephen Covey's phrase, we begin with the end in mind, which is having people in good careers that meet the needs of families on a path to self-sufficiency and also meeting the needs of local employers. So in Cincinnati, they measured their six milestones, and they saw that in that region, extending all the way over to Covington, Kentucky, that the arrows were not going in the right direction, and they weren't making progress. In fact, they tended to be going backwards. And after a few years of this effort, they saw that they were making progress, measurable progress. And some national funders looked at that and said, gee, this might be a good model for the nation. Let's take the guy who started that, Jeff Edmondson, and put him in charge of a national effort, essentially a highly subsidized consulting firm, to go around the country and reach out to folks and see if other communities would like to join this effort. And there are now 68 communities across the country in the network, and one needs to meet a number of criteria to get into the network, who are all working on the same set of issues and trying to learn from one another. So in Wisconsin, Racine County, Milwaukee, and Green Bay, Brown County and Green Bay, are all involved in the Strive Together network. And Kenosha has recently launched an effort, and they hope to be joining the network here within the next coming months.
For those of you just joining us, we're speaking today on The Morning Show with Jeff Neubauer, who is the executive director of Higher Expectations for Racine County Youth. And as we've been sketching for you, this is a group that officially launched, I think it's current, I think it's the initiative, Impact Initiative, back in 2014. But its history really dates back several years before that in terms of heavy hitters from the community, leaders in various sectors and spheres coming together out of concern for the high unemployment rate in Racine County and other statistics of great concern, and have really channeled their efforts into trying to make a difference once and for all. So explain what happened in 2014 in terms of what exactly was launched.
So Higher Expectations for Racine County Youth was put forward to the community, brought forward at a large gathering at Roma Lodge in April, and we put forward a draft mission and vision statement, which got modified, frankly, by the input that we got that day from a wide variety of people from across the community, with our central focus being a career, a fully capable Racine County workforce, and in fully employed Racine County workforce. So we want people to be not only employed, but also capable and on that path to self-sufficiency. And the great thing about that is that you can be fully employed as a stay-at-home parent, as a neurosurgeon, as a teacher, as a truck driver. Across the spectrum, there are a wonderful and wide array of opportunities to achieve fulfillment in Racine County. In fact, there are more opportunities than we have capable people, and that is why we focus on making sure that everyone can develop their skills and capabilities to be able to take advantage of those opportunities. And then around our vision, we want to maximize the potential of every child to achieve those objectives. And so now we have networks working on kindergarten readiness, on elementary reading, on high school attainment, on post-secondary enrollment, and also completion, and then moving on to the workforce. And we've got groups of people working on all of those things with sort of cross-sector, meaning a wide array of different people from the community meeting in disciplined ways to work on that. We also have a data team, which is terrific, that helps us look at the impact of what we're doing and continuously improve our efforts so that we know what we're working on is achieving the desired result or making it better so that it does.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I appreciated as I explored your website was the fact that at some point towards the very top were three core goals. And they were impressive and, I mean, relatively simple and yet important sort of guideposts in terms of guiding what you do. Those three goals being every child enters school ready to learn, every child succeeds in school, and every student goes on to succeed in a career. I mean, you really can't get more basic than that, but I can really see how that lends some clarity to your efforts? I mean, because when you look at the whole situation, it's a really vexing tangle of all kinds of different issues and concerns. But if you boil it down to those three core goals, it's interesting how the energy that emerges from just having those three central points to really focus on.
It really does. And then we have these groups of people who are guided by those principles and utilizing more effective techniques to really say, what does it take to make sure that every child is ready for kindergarten? How do you do that? Because people have a tendency to think, wow, those are great objectives, but it just seems overwhelmingly difficult to achieve them. And through research and through looking at bright spots in our own community, and this is key because in every community, including ours in Racine County, we have some really good things going on, but we need to identify them. We need to be able to measure that, and then we need to be able to take it to broader scale. So, for instance, let's just use the example to try and make this more concrete for the listeners. Getting children ready for kindergarten. We have three highly effective research-based initiatives underway in Racine County, and in particular east of I-94, where we have the greatest issues with this particular metric at the moment. One is that 3-year-old and 4-year-old kindergarten, particularly full-day kindergarten with a really good teacher, is shown in national research to be hugely impactful in helping make sure that children are ready for kindergarten. And in our own community, Dr. Hawes and the Racine Unified School District tried an experiment starting last school year, back in 2015-16, where they took a few of the many half-day 4-year-old kindergarten classrooms. We have typically about 1,100 children in the Racine Unified School District who are involved in half-day 4-year-old kindergarten. They took a few of those classrooms and they made them full-day classrooms. And one of their more effective teachers, who in the prior year when she had two classes, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, got 62% of her children to meet the kindergarten readiness benchmark. In the subsequent year when she had one class that met for the full day, she got 100% of those children ready for kindergarten using the benchmark that we utilize.
Wow.
And so it works, you know. But we need to do more of that. And the question is, how do you pay for it? So we're very involved with the school district, with the county, with the leadership of County Executive Jonathan Delagrave and the support of the Human Services Director, Hope Otto, who are terrific partners in this work, working with local legislators and others to try and change some state funding formulas, utilizing some federal funds to be able to expand full-day 4-year-old kindergarten. And we're going to have moved from essentially no full-day 4-year-old kindergarten to, in the coming year, 10 classrooms of full-day kindergarten. But we would like to scale that up across the district, focusing first on the neighborhoods where children have the greatest difficulty and have more challenging backgrounds, because that's where the greatest impact occurs. Mm-hmm. There are two other initiatives that I'll talk about very quickly. One, a fabulous thing called Imagination Library, which was founded by Dolly Parton. And the objective there is to have a book delivered to the home of every child from the time they are born once a month until they turn age 5. In other words, 60 books delivered to the home of each child, age-appropriate books. The United Way has been doing this in western Racine County. They've brought it to eastern part of Racine County. We would like to see that happen for every child born east of I-94 in Racine County, and we're working on that with the school district, with the Racine Education Association, with the United Way and others to try and get that vision implemented across the area east of I-94 in Racine County. And then third, there is something called Reach Out and Read, which is an initiative of the National Medical Association. and Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare, now Ascension Healthcare, All Saints, has embarked upon this so that every child who goes in for a well child visit or to get their immunizations, when they're speaking with their physician or nurse practitioner, they will receive a book. If they're going through the pediatric group and ultimately through family practice. And the healthcare provider will talk with the parents about the importance of reading and how they need to do that for the health and well-being of their child. All three of these initiatives have been shown to be highly impactful where they've been tried across the country, and we are in the process of implementing all three here in Racine County.
So this is probably a good example then of where you are not necessarily reinventing the wheel or trying to create programs in a vacuum. You are, at least in what you're talking about right now, taking programs that already exist, initiatives that already exist, and that have been shown to be effective, and you're really trying to grow them and spread them out throughout the community and thereby deepen and widen their impact.
That is exactly right. And Higher Expectations, our staff of folks, and we've got a terrifically talented and dedicated group, do not do the actual work. What we do is we work with the school district, we work with the United Way, we work with the county, we work with churches, we work with businesses to align our efforts so that we can be much more effective. And then we work with all of these entities to measure the impact of our efforts and find out where they're working well and where they're not working so well. And instead of beating people up when they're not working so well, which regrettably is often what's happened in the past across the country, we instead use that data to guide our path. We use it, to borrow the phrase from Strive Together, as a flashlight and not a club.
And so, you know, so for instance, these specific initiatives we're talking about right now involving getting more and more youngsters ready to succeed in kindergarten, you are choosing programs that have been shown to be effective.
Yes.
And so this is not just throwing money haphazardly or throwing darts at a wall, hoping you're going to finally hit something that works. I mean, you're trying to be very strategic here with your time and with your money in terms of what programs are worth nurturing.
Yes, exactly. And then when one can show that data from local efforts, as in the example of the 4-year-old kindergarten full-day classroom that I mentioned, or the national research, and share that with people across the community, it makes sense to them. So then, you know, legislators and the school district and the United Way and the county and businesses and faith-based organizations can come together around a common agenda and really try and scale up those things that make the most sense. Mm-hmm. You know, so instead of having, let's just say, the Dolly Parton Imagination Library go just to families who sign up and find it of their own accord or find it with the assistance of the United Way, why not go to every child or the parents of every child when they're born in the hospital and offer this opportunity? But in order to do that, we need a lot of help from the healthcare provider, All Saints. We need help from the United Way to fund that. We need help from local organizations that can put money into it. And we have enthusiastic support from the school district and the REA to try and get this pulled together. So we have to bring all those folks together around a common table. Everyone thinks it's a good idea. Now we just need to make it happen.
Right. We should say that your group put together a baseline report back in September of 2015, which I think was to measure the current situation and in a sense to measure the dimensions of the plight of the community in terms of these concerns. And then several months ago, September of this year, you released an annual report which sort of spelled out, in a sense, what had happened since, although I should think it's very early to be seeing dramatic changes. Or is your hope that we would already be seeing that needle move.
We can see the needle move in isolated cases, as in the example of the classroom I've referred to a couple of times with the full-day four-year-old kindergarten. But we want to look at these metrics not just in isolation, but we want to look at these measurements across the community and then, frankly, hold ourselves and the community accountable to make progress. We've referenced Cincinnati several times. They started this work 10 years ago, and they are seeing significant movement across their community. If you go to Cincinnati, you will find out they have not achieved nirvana. they've got a lot of work yet to do, but they're seeing what we like to refer to as system change, and that they are making real progress. We are early in this work. This is long-term work. There is no single silver bullet that's going to magically solve all of our problems. But we know that if we do this properly, with diligence and with care, and we keep at it for years, that we will make progress. We're beginning to see elements of that progress, but we need to work across this entire spectrum from career to cradle and improve the quality of life in our community.
Quickly, I'm afraid, because we have other things to talk about. When we talk about young people being ready for kindergarten, ready to begin school, in a sense, at square one versus at minus one or minus two, which unfortunately is the situation for many youngsters in our community. We've really only talked about reading. It's so important that youngsters are already having books in their hands and doing reading and understanding reading and falling in love with reading. That's a very, very important part. Are there one or two at least other factors that are important in a youngster really being ready for school, and factors that for instance, your organization can do something about?
There are. There are many factors, and it's a great question. Thank you for raising this issue. When we spend time with parents, with teachers, with folks across the community, what we hear is that probably the most important thing, along with preparation for learning to read, is that children come prepared to learn and they are in a good emotional state, and that they understand what is appropriate behavior in school and how to control their impulses a little bit and behave as we would like students to behave when they are in the classroom. So this so-called social-emotional component of learning is really critical, particularly for young children. And so there's a lot that can be done about that, working with parents, working with teachers, working with groups in the community. And so we have ongoing discussions and work underway about what would be required to make sure that really critical component is in place. And frankly, full-day three-year-old and four-year-old kindergarten can be very helpful about that, as can, working with parents and families to help them understand, what's expected and how they can achieve those objectives so that their children can get off on the right foot.
We're speaking with Jeff Neubauer, the Executive Director of Higher Expectations for Racine County Youth. This is, what do we call it? Would a consortium be a good word?
We call it an initiative.
Okay.
And it's a countywide initiative that attempts to align efforts and utilize the principles of collective impact.
And specifically around issues related to the high unemployment rate in Racine County, specifically or especially the city of Racine, but Racine County as a whole certainly, and trying to have some impact in terms of the success of young people. So we've been talking specifically about getting youngsters in a better place, ready for the start of their education, and of course, along the way then, success within their education. And I know that one of the points of concern is the reading level of a given young person in the third grade. Why is that so especially important?
When one looks at the data, one can pretty much anticipate and tragically predict the high school dropout rate by looking at third grade reading scores. So it turns out that in our educational system, up to and through third grade, children are learning to read. And from fourth grade forward, they have to read to learn. So if they haven't really learned to read by the time they've finished third grade and gotten to a certain level of proficiency, they fall further and further behind from fourth grade, oftentimes going forward. So it's a really critical milestone in the development of a child's life for them to be able to read at grade level and to be proficient in third grade reading. Across the country, this is a challenge. This is not just something in Racine County or in Racine Unified. And the good news is that there are some effective strategies and initiatives that can really help change that as well. But we have to start early because it's a lot easier if a child shows up at kindergarten ready to learn and if they're getting all of the support and help that they need in kindergarten, first, second, and third grade, so that by the time they leave third grade, they're ready to move on to fourth grade and success in school.
I noticed in the annual report a little bit of discussion about a program called Schools of Hope, which is really an exciting and heartwarming undertaking in which adults go into certain elementary schools with certain populations of concern, let's say, and engage in some really intensive one-on-one reading encounters. And there's been all kinds of very positive things that have emerged from that, although your report sketched out that that unfortunately it, at least as initially conceived, it was not necessarily making the change in some of these numbers that was hoped. Just talk for a moment about that and about the ways in which perhaps this program has been slightly altered in order to maybe make more tangible results.
It's a great example, and thank you for highlighting this opportunity. So Schools of Hope was an initiative of the United Way in full cooperation and partnership with the Racine Unified School District and many churches and employers and others who have brought forward a couple hundred, between 200 and 300 volunteer tutors to go into the schools. I've done it, my mom's done it, my wife's done it, and many others across the community. But we've got firsthand experience in our family and in our church. All of my colleagues do it at Higher Expectations, and it's a wonderful thing to do. It's so great to spend time with first, second, and third grade students in schools helping them. The focus has been on students who are not at proficiency but are relatively close, who are sort of so-called bubble students. They're kind of on the bubble of getting over the hump. And if we can work with those students, the hope is that we can get them ready so that by the time they depart third grade, as we've mentioned, they're reading proficiently. The students love it. The teachers love it. The tutors love it. The problem is when we went to measure it, we weren't really seeing the results we'd hoped for. And the United Way, you know, does amazing work, but they didn't really have the capability of doing an in-depth study of how effective and impactful this was. And there are all kinds of issues that one gets into. You have to safeguard the confidentiality of children under law, and just because it's the right thing to do. You have to match up the child and how much tutoring they get with their reading scores and see whether you're making progress. And then you have to put this data together. You need someone who has the sophistication to look at it and do a fair and impartial analysis. That takes a lot of work, but that's part of what Higher Expectations did in concert with the school district and the United Way. And we built that capability of doing that analysis. And as a result of that analysis, we changed the program. And we tried three different approaches. And then after analyzing that, we changed it again. And now we are in the process of looking at it ongoing throughout this particular school year to see if we're achieving our desired results. And we will change and modify and improve it more. This is called continuous improvement. And it is something which historically is not necessarily done in education or social services because, frankly, The organizations that do a lot of that work lack the capacity and expertise to do it. They're much more focused on doing the work, and they don't have the money or the people who are statisticians and data analysts to look at that. And that's why our data team at Higher Expectations and our terrific data manager, Matt Snyder, working with Wendy Rowley from the school district and Rodney Prunty and the team over at the United Way, come together and can look at this with the help of volunteers in the community and others to really get that figured out. So a big, big part of our work is introducing this notion of continuous improvement and getting better at what we do and continually refining and improving upon our efforts.
This is probably as good a time as any to clarify Higher Expectations' relationship with Racine Unified as a whole. And of course, we're having this discussion at a point in time when the school district is still digesting what was a unhappy set of numbers that came back from DPI from the most recent report card, which really showed some really serious matters of concern for the school district as a whole. So you are working on this effort at a point in time when the school district, of course, in many respects, is feeling beleaguered by all kinds of pressures and concerns. Clarify what your what your relationship is, and what level of cooperation there is, and the role that you see in relationship to the school district.
We work with people across Racine County, but we want to focus where we can have the greatest impact. And as you point out, right now, that is the Racine Unified School District. And we have a great partnership there. The school district we could not be doing the work we're doing and making the kind of progress that we hope to see and are beginning to see without the full support of the Racine Unified School District. And that includes the superintendent, Dr. Hawes. It includes the school board. It includes so many people who work for the school district, teachers and administrators. We share data. We do analysis together. And we're there as a support and a partner. So as I said before, you know, a Higher Expectations staff of 5 or 6 people is not going to be able to, you know, improve reading scores or guarantee high school success for students. What we can do is assist the school district by bringing together partners like the United Way and others to leverage our efforts, as in the Schools of Hope example that we cited. We can also help. The school district has really bulked up their capacity to understand what's going on and analyze their data much more so than in years before. In the last 3 years, they've really developed strong capacity, and they've got very good people there. But even with the amount of effort they're making, sometimes we can help them by doing some analyses that they haven't had the time yet to do. So at the request of some folks within the district, you know, we're going to be helping them analyze that state report card and understand where we are, why we're there, and then put together specific strategies for how we can move those numbers in the right direction. No one was happy with that report card, but it has a tendency to focus the mind, and we hope and believe focus the community. These are our schools. I graduated from these schools and went off to some fabulous universities, and, you know, there are great things happening in this school district today. Many students, many, many students succeeding and doing very well, but we need to do better. And we want to bring the entire community together around a unified effort, and I choose that term intentionally, to embrace the reality of where we are, but also to build on the foundation of the really, really good work that has commenced there over the last 2 or 3 years and that will show up in these report cards in the years to come. So it's a critical need in our community, And we believe and we know that we can make real progress on that if we come together as one and unify our efforts to move our critical measures so that the future state report cards are much better than they were this year.
In some ways, it feels like if you are able to achieve great success, significant breakthroughs, for instance, in the first initiatives we talked about in terms of the youngest people in our community, it's likely to transfer over to greater success, for instance, at that third grade reading benchmark, and transfer into better graduation rates and success all across the way. I suspect it isn't as simple as that, were that it were. But I should think there is some correlation there that we're talking about. And if the progress can be made early on, that progress can eventually be felt all along the continuum, not that it solves every problem along the way.
Absolutely right. And frankly, there's nothing simple about this work. And there's no, as I said before, there's no silver bullet or simple, easy, or quick solution. But picking up on your question, your very insightful question, in the reading benchmark assessment that we have for children entering kindergarten, 78% of the children were judged to be kindergarten ready, meaning that they could learn to read with normal instruction. So about three quarters, let's just say, and about a quarter weren't. When you look at our high school graduation rates, about three quarters of the students graduate and about a quarter don't. Now, we don't have the data going back 12 years to know if the children who didn't graduate from high school were the same ones who showed up 12 years earlier not prepared for kindergarten. But one can draw a reasonable inference that if a student arrives at kindergarten ready to learn, it's a less challenging undertaking to keep that child on track. If a child shows up not ready, it's a harder thing to move that child to a different trajectory. Now, we're employing a whole number of very effective strategies to begin to help those children who need the greatest help. And by we, I mean principally the school district, but also the community. But if we could get everyone ready, if we could get 100% of children ready for kindergarten, the school district's task would be much easier. And that isn't to say easy, but it would be certainly easier to keep those children on track and graduating. So we need to stay with those children at every point along the way, but clearly being ready at the start helps. Mm. And then we can do other great things, and we are doing great things, you know, further along the educational pathway. And I'd just like to take a quick moment and say the Academies of Racine that were launched this fall in the Racine Unified School District are one of the most exciting things I've ever seen in all the years that I've been doing this work. And they started with the freshmen this fall. We've seen great effect in Nashville and other places that have deployed these strategies where graduation rates went up. Disciplinary actions went way down. Students were much more engaged in their work. So again, looking at national examples and then receiving support, the school district in Racine, at Racine Unified, received support from Ford Motor Company's philanthropic arm called Ford Next Generation Learning. And that's a very, very exciting development a little further along the education continuum.
Mm-hmm. Well, some interesting things to look at, and certainly high hopes for a brighter future. For people who want to know more about Higher Expectations, and in particular who want to explore the specifics of this massive annual report that was released in September, which also lays out some of the specific hopes and goals for the future, where do they find that, or how can they look at that?
Our website is higherexpectationsracinecounty.org, kind of long, higherexpectationsracinecounty.org, but if you just Google Higher Expectations Racine County, it'll pop up. And I have to say, we have a very robust website. And I also want to point out that on Wednesday of this week, we have a labor symposium from 7 to 9 in the morning, looking at a labor study, which we did in conjunction with the Department of Workforce Development and Racine County and other partners, and what we can do to improve the quality of the workforce, but also to help students become more prepared for work. So anyone who is interested in that opportunity should contact Carolyn Frisch, and her email is on our website. And Carolyn is putting that thing together. Also, her phone number is 262-638-6631. That's 262-638-6631. We would invite employers particularly to come and learn more about our local labor market, but anyone to read the report and engage with us.
Jeff Neubauer, Executive Director of Higher Expectations, thank you so much for being here. It was great to talk with you, and we look forward to talking with you again about all of these.